Good morning, everyone. It's my pleasure to welcome you to our service today and welcome those also that will listen later when it's put online. And, you know, today is Sunday, the 11th of February, 2024. I nearly said 19 then. It just reminds me, it's Sunday, you see, because I like to call it Sunday with a S-O-N, today. Today is the sun's day, because we're not worshippers of the sun. We're worshippers of Jesus, the anointed Son of the living God. So today, I just want to welcome everybody who's here today into the family of God. You know, it says those in the house. Well, in the old covenant, when you were in the house, it meant you were in the family. So we are the family of Almighty Yah, the God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, in this house, because we're believers in his son Jesus. So let's all, I've got a verse of scripture, and it was chosen, actually, this verse of scripture. It'll fit in later when we're praying for the Eastern Baptist Association. And the verse is, "Oh, clap your hands, all you peoples, shout to the God with a voice of triumph, for the Lord Most High is awesome. He is the great King over all the earth." And we know that Jesus is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. So let's just open in prayer. Father, we just thank you for who you are. And we just thank you, Father, that we, as representing your body today, we thank you, Father, that we say, Father, that your kingdom come, that your will be done in this place today, Father. And Father, we thank you that your love has been shed abroad in our hearts. We thank you, Father, that we have the authority of the name of Jesus. And we thank you, Father, that we have the power of your Holy Spirit. So, Father, we just commit this service into your hands, Father. And, Father, we ask that your glory might come, that we might know the true and the living God. In Jesus' name, amen. And now we hand over to Sue's going to play a saxophone for us today as we worship the Lord.
Morning, everyone. So when you get to play up the front, you get to choose the songs. So I was like trying to think what I might like to play and what you might enjoy. So in the last couple of weeks, my friend and I, we booked a trip to the theatre to see a show called Assembly Bangers. And it's all songs that you used to have to sing in school assemblies. So it's going to take us right back. So we're really looking forward to that. So I kind of based my song choices today on things that we used to sing in our school assemblies and also from Sunday school, and just a couple in there that I like. So I hope you like them too. So we're going to start with Morning Has Broken. I'm going to do a little short intro for each one, okay? And I'll sort of nod my head when it's time to come in.
Thank you.
And now we've got the wise man built his house upon the rock. So I'd love to see some actions, floods. Hello? Okay, a little intro. And Pam will give us the notices.
Yep. Right, here we go.
So this coming Thursday, care group as usual, 10 a.m. in the conservatory. Friday is art and craft between 1 and 3. Now next Saturday, the 17th at 9:30, it's the men's breakfast. So yay, any men can come to that. Now Sunday, the 18th at 10:30, we've got some speakers from the London City Mission coming. There's actually three coming. It's very exciting. And Elias Ayoub is coming. And he comes alongside churches in Newham and Redbridge, where a large percentage of the borough's populations are Muslims. His vision is to equip everyday Christians to reach out and share the gospel with people who are unlikely to hear it, particularly those following other religions. So it's going to be great. So come along to that. That's next week to hear London City Mission. Now, the first reading this morning comes from 2 Chronicles 7, verses 11 to 16. When Solomon had finished the temple of the Lord and the royal palace, and had succeeded in carrying out all he had in mind to do in the temple of the Lord and in his own palace, the Lord appeared to him at night and said, "I've heard your prayer and have chosen the place for myself as a temple for sacrifices. When I shut up the heavens so that there is no rain, or command locusts to devour the land, or send a plague among my people, if my people, who are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Now my eyes will be open and my ears attentive to the prayers offered in this place. I have chosen and consecrated this temple so that my name may be there forever. My eyes and my heart will always be there." Amen. And now Gracia, fetch our second reading.
The second reading is from Psalm 84, verses 1 to 4. Psalm 84, verses 1 to 4. How lovely is your dwelling place, Lord Almighty! My soul yearns, even faints, for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh cry out for the living God. Even the sparrow has found a home, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may have her young. A place near your altar, Lord Almighty, my King and my God. Blessed are those who dwell in your house. They are ever praising you.
So we're going to have two more songs, From the Rising of the Sun, and then Give Me Oil in My Lamp.
Thank you.
please have a seat?
I hope you all enjoyed your trip down memory lane, bringing back some memories of Sunday school and school itself. Now it's prayer time. And I was struck by this that was on in the magazine that's free at the back, or it might have all gone now. But anyway, it was talking about last year. And it was saying, as we enter a new year, well, it's only beginning of February, the most persecuted religion on the planet is again Christianity. Yet the numbers of believers continues to grow. In 2023, persecutors of the year, reported by International Christian Concern, highlighted the countries where attacks against Christians are the worst, including imprisonment, torture, and slaughter. China, Iran, and Nigeria are three of the most dangerous countries for Christians. Yet in all three, the church is on the rise. In Nigeria, Christians are killed and churches destroyed every week by Islamic militants. Yet the approximate 100 million Christian population is steadily growing. Iran has one of the fastest growing churches in the world. 500,000 to 800,000 believers. And you know, in Iran, a lot of the mosques are closing down. There's nobody going to them because there is revival within Iran. In China, is believed to have 70 to 100 million underground Christians, those who practice in secret because of the state suppression. More freedom still exists for Christians in the West, that's us, despite increasing opposition. Yet, this is one of the few regions where Christianity is not rapidly growing. The reason is partly because we have suffered cultural memory loss. Our society has forgotten that Christianity is the foundation of our Western concepts of freedom, tolerance, justice, democracy, human dignity, and equality. And I just thought that was a, you know, bring us to what we are. The persecution is against Christians. This is what's going on in the world today. And so now it's prayer time, and I'm sure you all have on your own hearts things that are so important to you. And it's time, you know, to bring collectively together those prayers towards the Lord. If anyone wants to pray out aloud, we welcome that here. Because we can all say amen. We can all come in agreement with it. And, you know, but if you're silent, want to say silent prayers, that's okay. Everything is okay. Whatever you want to do. We are the family of God in Shotgate. And, you know, we'd love to see our church grow. We'd love to see more people coming in. And so, and for whatever prayers you have on your heart, you know, I am, my prayer is for Israel, because I've been to Israel many times. I know the outlay of the land and what's happening there. And again, you see, it is a spiritual battle that we're in. We're in a spiritual battle against these rising forces of the devil. It's, you know, Hamas, what they did was, it was worse than the Nazis did. And so whatever's on your heart, whatever you want to bring, that's what I'm saying to you, bring towards the Lord at this time. So we'll have a time of prayer, and then I will bring to you what the Eastern Baptist Church wants to bring to us for us to pray over this coming week, okay? So, time of prayer now. Bring your prayers, silent or aloud, to the Lord.
Lord, it seems that in your kingdom only everything is not sacred. Today I pray that you would make the church in the West, the church here, the Shortcake Baptist Church, more like the church in China, Nigeria, and Iran. And if that means persecution, so be it.
Amen.
Father, we pray for the ancient people, the Jews, should recognize in the Lord Jesus their true Messiah, whom they rejected long ago at the cross. We pray that they would turn to him in repentance and faith, rather than reject him as they are now. We pray that they will open their hearts to him. He came as their true Messiah, and still they reject him. We pray that their hearts will be open and repent of their refusal of the Lord Jesus. We pray that they'll turn to him in faith and in love, rather than continue as they are in their ancient, low scriptural religion, in which they reject the Lord, their final true Messiah. We ask it in his name. Amen.
So, Father, we thank you that you've heard our prayers, because you know your word has told us as we are reading today that it's when your people, who are called by your name, humble themselves and pray and seek your face and turn from the wicked ways, then you hear us from heaven and you will forgive all our sins and heal our land. And so as we bring our prayers to a conclusion, Father, we just thank you. We pray now for the Eastern Baptist Association for your coming prayers this week. And they have, for their topic this week, it is social justice, with the emphasis on deafness. And the Eastern Baptist Association, justice, they have a justice hub. I've identified deafness and the church to be a big issue with an aging population, and that struck me today as Paul came to me and said, I can't always hear everything that's said. And so we have, even within our midst, someone who's not, because of age, is not hearing everything. And so we are asked by the Eastern Baptist Association to pray for those who are deaf or hard of hearing, and provision that is available. We're also asked to pray for the Justice Hub, as they discern and work with churches to provide areas of justice in areas of disability, race, and poverty. And then we're asked to ask God how we can take, as individuals, as we can take a step of faith in providing and provisions for those with disabilities. So that is the prayer request of the Eastern Baptist Association this week. And I ask you to just try and remember them in your prayers this coming week. Amen? Amen. So we'll hand over to Polani now. One more. Oh, we have to have a song, yeah.
One more song.
We have to have a song.
One more song. I picked this one because I like it. It's a bit slower, so I can have a bit of a rest after the last fast ones. Please stand if you're able to. Sorry, too sharp.
Thank you.
have a seat and we welcome Polani.
Good morning once again. It's good to see us all here. It's good to see all of you. It's good to be together in the house of the Lord, worshiping, praying, praising together. Thank you, Sue, for the songs. You see, Sue didn't know what's in my notes when she did the songs. I knew, and when I saw the songs, I said, go figure. I said, well, the Lord is working in our hearts wherever we are. It's always great when people are leading in different areas of the service to give that room for them to lead from the heart so we can benefit from what the Lord has put in their heart. And so, you see, we started there. The wise man built his house on the rock. We are talking about Solomon building the temple. You see that? Wise men build Solomon. Wise men build the house on the rock. You see that one there? And we've got the idea of being reminded the school assembly was quite interesting for me when we sang particularly, give me oil in my lamp to keep me burning. We sang that at school, but we used to sing it in Zulu, you see. And so I was hoping we're going to see the words coming up in Zulu up there. And it used to be, ngicela mafutha, isibaneni sami siqale sivutha. So I was hoping we, ngicela mafutha, isibaneni sami siqale sivutha. I thought we were going to bellow out in Zulu. Good idea. We would. And as for the song we just sang, Praise My Soul, the King of Heaven. Those who already got the notes, don't look at the last slide because it's going to come up there. And Sue didn't know I had it in there when she had the song. So the Lord is working through and the Lord is speaking. That's the voice of God in there. Now, recently I had an issue with the lights on my car. And we shared about it. I said when we had the care group the other day, had the lights in my car, there was issues there. Got them fixed at my nearest garage, which ended up costing an arm and a leg and an eye and an ear. It's one of those cars that you don't realize how much it's going to cost you to change wipers, and then suddenly you realize, what did I let myself into? Now, after they have changed the lights, they then asked me to, they said, but we can't program the lights to the car. You've got to go to the manufacturer. You've got to go to the dealer with the sort of that manufacturer. I'm going to switch off the mic so that it doesn't record. I don't want to advertise who the car is by. But anyhow, I'll leave it at that. It's a certain make of a car. And when I went to the dealer over in Raleigh, I thought it's a garage like any garage next to my house. I drove, got to the parking lot. And when I walked into the offices, into their space, there was an air of difference, you know. I wasn't met like it would be by my garage, by my, you know, in my area, by a man with a rag hanging on the back of his, on his jeans, who would say, "Oi, mate, is that you? All right, follow me." But I was met by gentleman who took his glasses off and said, "Good afternoon, sir. Please come over. Take a seat." And oh, it was absolutely, and the lighting and the seating and the setting, the whole setup, even the tea and coffee. I will admit, I had to have a coffee because I saw the coffee that I've never seen before. The coffee machine, you had to press it in a certain way. I had to read the instructions. Where do I get water? Where do I get coffee? And how strong will the coffee be? I had to pick the biscuits. When to sit, made sure when I break the biscuit, I don't mess up. It gave you that sense of, I'm at a certain place here. And I noticed there were two of their makes, their cars, that were sitting there while you sit on these nice seats, drink the nice coffee that they merchandise. They put them there. I looked at them and said, "Beautiful cars, lovely. Wouldn't it be nice to drive one of those?" Then I looked at the price. Started counting the zeros, and I lost count on the zeros. And it reminded me of 2 Chronicles chapter 9. We are reflecting on 2 Chronicles, the action of faith, on Solomon building the temple. It says, when the queen of Sheba came to Solomon, came to the palace and saw the building itself, and saw how the whole layout, how the seats and how the officials, saw the food, just seeing the food alone, and seeing the dressing of the servers, it says the queen of Sheba praised the Lord, the God of Solomon. You see, I tried to make it, when the queen of Sheba saw the suited and booted brown shoes, you see how it's made? Brown shoes, brown suit, you know, with a tie, and red, and sort of the stripes are matching there. When the queen of Sheba saw the dressing of the servers, of those who were serving, when she saw how Solomon brought the burnt offerings at the temple, the queen of Sheba, when she heard the worship that was being sung, the songs being raised to the Lord as an offering, when the queen of Sheba visited and saw the meals that were being served, I don't know, tea and coffees coming up, when the teas and coffees were served, says that the queen of Sheba praised the Lord, the God of Solomon. Just made me reflect on how we present ourselves to people, how we represent the Lord, how we present God. Of course, I'm not talking about dressing, I'm not talking about the chandeliers, but I'm talking about how we present. Indeed, we present ourselves to those that come in, those that we meet. How we represent, do they see what we do and worship our God? Does it lead them to praising and worshiping our God? Just a thought to put in there as we reflect. 2 Chronicles takes over from 1 Chronicles. If you read the notes from last week, if you didn't, this will be an encouragement to reflect on them. We do have handouts that we give out on our reflections as we go through the books of the Bible and pick on the different themes that we find in the different books of the Bible. 2 Chronicles begins with an overlap from the end of 1 Chronicles, where King David hands over leadership to Solomon. We reflected last week on how David was anointed three times. First, before his family, and then before Judah, and then before the whole of Israel. Something similar happens with Solomon. Solomon is first anointed, as it were, in a hurry, in a rush. But then at the end of First Chronicles chapter 29, we see in verse 21 through to 25 that Solomon is anointed with the whole view, with the whole regalia, with the whole nation and the whole public watching and celebrating and praising God, and he is received by them as king. And what does Solomon do once he is anointed as king? In chapter 1 of 1 Chronicles, it says, Solomon, son of David, established himself firmly over his kingdom, for the Lord God was with him and made him exceedingly great. I see an interesting theme there, in that we start by hearing that God is with Solomon, makes Solomon exceedingly great. And then the next verse talks about Solomon taking the whole of Israel and their leadership up to the tent of meetings before the Lord and bringing sacrifices to the Lord. We see the Lord being present and being in Solomon's world, blessing Solomon and being with him. But we also see Solomon going up to seek the Lord. We see the grace of his presence meeting the encounter of searching for him. Then we find the King Solomon. What wisdom! We know Solomon for his wisdom. And what wisdom to respond to the presence of God by having an encounter of seeking after him. Not only is God present with us, but he calls us to seek after him. He calls us to pray to him. He calls us to raise our hearts and respond to his call and respond to his presence. I don't know how many times God has showed himself to you that he is present with you. Even the breath that we breathe is a gift from him. And so in the wisdom of Solomon, the question is, do we respond to him? Do we seek him while he may be found? Solomon takes the whole of Israel up to the Lord, and he worships the Lord and he praises the Lord. In verse 7, it says, that night God appeared to Solomon and said to him, ask for whatever you want me to give you. The first time we hear God appearing to Solomon, he gives him an open check. He says, ask whatsoever you will ask. Reflecting on what Jesus is going to say in Matthew 7. Knock and the door shall be opened to you. Ask and you will receive. Seek and you will find. There is this blessedness about the Lord that whenever we seek him, he says, seek him when he may be found. Whenever we turn our eyes to the Lord, as we were praying earlier on, whenever we pray to God, he hears our prayer. And so he invites Solomon and he says to Solomon, ask whatever you want. Whatsoever you're going to ask, I will give you. And there's so many things Solomon could have asked for. If he was me, he probably would have asked for more zeros on my bank account so I can change my car to that car that I couldn't see myself affording. If Solomon was you and I, I'm not going to even guess what he would have asked for. He is king. He is recognized by people. He is a leader. But his request from the Lord is a humble one. He requests for knowledge and wisdom. He requests the Lord and says, give me wisdom and knowledge that I may lead this people. For who is able to govern this great people of yours? What wisdom! It's as though Solomon has wisdom before he has wisdom. He has wisdom of choice, wisdom of priority. He says, Lord, I know I can ask whatsoever I ask from you. But what I'm going to ask for is wisdom. Make me wise of choice. Make me wise in my steps. Make me wise in my actions. Make me wise in whatsoever I do. And what does the Lord do in answering that prayer? God says to him, you have desired a great thing. You haven't desired wealth or greatness. You have not asked for victories over military victories, but you have asked for wisdom. And what the Lord does is he gives him the wisdom, but he gives him more. He gives him more than what he has asked for. He gives him the wisdom he's asked for, and he gives him more. How I pray that we see the hand of God giving us those things we've prayed for and more. God is not limited to what you have asked for. God is not limited to what you have prayed for. But the turning of your heart towards him, the looking towards him and giving him that place in your heart, in your life, and in your mind, he gives you that which you have asked for, and he gives you more. Don't think I'm the only one who has had blessings and privileges that I didn't even pray for. That I say, Lord, you have blessed me beyond that which I asked for. Sometimes we don't know what tomorrow holds for us, and God works on it before we even ask for it. Before we ask for that, before we ask for it. God knows our heart's limitations. Sometimes you say the Lord's Prayer in your prayer time, or you read a passage of a psalm, or you read a prayer that is written down in different prayer books or prayer helps that we can get. That is a prayer. The Lord will bless that prayer and will give you more than you have asked for. And so God says to Solomon, I will bless you more than you have asked for. And when the wisdom is settling in Solomon's world, he begins to prepare to build the temple. And in his preparation to build the temple, there are some interesting things that come up, such as he's organizing and his practical steps and his planning and making sure that manpower and resources are sufficient and well allocated. I'm not going to go over that thought again. We said it over David, that he planned and he set together the plans and the manpower and the resources. And Solomon doesn't just jump off the cliff. Remember when the wise men built the house on the rock? Jesus said when one is going to go to war or one is going to build, they count the cost. They count how many they are. They budget and they work out how they are going to work it out. In fact, Solomon was so wise, you'll notice that he began building the temple. It says in chapter 3, that he began to build in the second day of the second month of the fourth year of his reign. And so Solomon comes into the throne, begins to plan for building. They say it will take 3 years for the cedars of Lebanon to be ready to build. He ordered cedars from Lebanon. It would take 3 years to cut them down and mature them and get them ready for building. He didn't just jump off the cliff and say, the Lord said, build, I'm going to build it now. But he looked at the resources. He took the time to put it all together. I was thinking that when I shared at the beginning about Solomon and the Queen of Sheba, when Solomon answered all her questions, it says in verse 2, Solomon answered all her questions. It's as though Solomon was prepared to answer her questions, as though Solomon did it in order. He did it in a planned way. Probably Solomon put together the Alpha Course or Christianity Explored. And he had a meticulous way of answering questions and discussing what it was that he was doing as he worshipped God. And the Queen of Sheba responded. And so Solomon builds the temple. He puts together the resources. But the letter that Solomon writes to Hiram, the king of Tyre, is quite interesting in chapter 2. Because Solomon writes to a neighboring king. He writes a letter and it infers that he had a good relationship with his father David. Because Solomon says, send me cedar logs as you did for my father David when you sent him cedar for building a palace. And so Solomon uses his good relationships with his neighbors. Ministry goes beyond having good relationships from church to church or Christian to Christian, but says those within our neighborhood, how are we relating with them? How are we incorporating them in what we do? And Solomon writes a long letter. And then he describes to King Hiram how the temple is going to be used, what's going to happen in the temple, the worship that's going to happen in the temple. He says, we are building a temple for God, but God does not reside in a building made by hands, does not reside on earth. God resides in heaven, but we are building for his name. Solomon explains this in the letter to King Hiram. And what's King Hiram's response? In verse 12, King Hiram added, praise be to the Lord, the God of Israel. Solomon has a very wise way of sharing the gospel. He has a wise way of sharing the good news. In chapter 9, he's sharing the good news by the way he is set up with his palace, with the building, the way his servers are serving coffee and tea. Oh, there wasn't coffee, probably something more upmarket. But how they are serving the dinners, probably I should say the dinners and the meals. How they are set up, the servants, how they work, how the music was set in the temple. The Queen of Sheba praises the God of Solomon. And here we have King Hiram, once he hears about what will happen at the temple, and hears that God does not reside in the building made by hands, but God resides in heaven. Once he hears about the worship and the offerings that are going to be given at the temple, it says King Hiram said, praise be to the Lord, the God of Israel. Even in his letter, Solomon shares the message of the gospel. And he begins to build the temple and the furnishings in chapter 3 and 4. And he brings the ark in chapter 5, and then he dedicates the temple in chapter 6. Solomon starts by blessing the people when he's dedicating the temple. He blesses the people by reminding them how God brought them out of Egypt, how God promised their forefather David, and how God has been faithful. It says he reminded them of the faithfulness of God. It wasn't enough to build the temple. He had to remember the faithfulness of God. The people had to remember the faithfulness of God. And once he's dedicating the temple, he begins to pray. And in his prayer, he praises God for his hands. That whatsoever they were doing with their hands, building the temple, doing all the setup, the hand of God was working through their hands. The hand of God works through our hands in whatever we do. Whatsoever you do, scripture says, do it as unto the Lord. And then we see that God appears to Solomon at the end, after Solomon has said the prayer and dedicated the temple. God appears to Solomon at first when he goes up to the tabernacle, and we don't hear about God appearing to Solomon again until Solomon dedicates the temple. I'm sure you've heard about the footprints in the sand, that God is not giving a running commentary of your life. God is not giving a running commentary of what you are doing next. When we watch the boat race, you see the cocks sitting in the front of the boat race. For every stroke, the cocks is coaxing them, telling them what to do, telling them how to push, telling them how fast to go. The walk of faith is not always a coaxed walk of faith. Sometimes we obey what God has said and we work according to his plan and we keep on working. Sometimes we don't see or hear or feel that sense of urgency to do what God wants us to do. But Solomon kept on working. He knew the hand of the Lord was with him. He knew even when there were footprints in the sand that he wondered whose footprints they were. That the Lord was with him. That the Lord was at work. And it says that God then appeared to Solomon. The Lord's response to what Solomon is doing, we see that when the ark was brought to the temple, when Israel praised the Lord in chapter 7, it says the cloud filled the temple. The cloud of his presence filled the temple. The presence, the manifest presence of God filled the temple. When Solomon blessed people and prayed to the Lord in intercession and dedicated the temple, it says in verse 1 to 2 of chapter 7, that the fire of his glory filled the temple. When the people worshiped the Lord and praised him, his presence was visible. His presence filled the temple. The work we do for the Lord, the walk we do for the Lord, when we mix the faith we have with the actions that we do for the Lord, the glory of the Lord comes. When the priests praised, when the Levites praised and glorified God, his glory filled the temple. I'm reminded as we sang the song, "Praise my soul, the King of Heaven." It comes in there. A song written by Reverend Henry Francis Light, Scottish hymn writer, who gave us such songs as "Abide with Me." Wrote that song from the heart. And one of the songs that Henry Francis Light wrote, a reflection of Psalm 84, which we read earlier. Pleasant are your courts above, in the land of light and love. Pleasant are your courts below, in this land of sin and war. All my spirit longs and faints for the converse of your saints, for the brightness of your face, for your fullness, God of grace. How I pray that the presence, the glory, the cloud, and the fire of the Lord would so much as abide in our worship, abide in the works that we do for the Lord, abide in the praise and the prayers that we do to Him. Amen. Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, heaven is your throne, the earth is your footstool, the psalmist says. And so, Lord, as we invite your presence, as we invite your glory, Lord, as we invite the fire of your glory, the cloud of your glory, to abide in our lives, abide in our worship, abide in our works and in our service for you. We thank you that you promise us that whatsoever we pray, you will answer. When we seek, we find. When we knock, the door shall be open. And so we ask as Solomon asked, Lord, that you give us wisdom, give us understanding, that we do your will. And your will be done on earth as it is done in heaven. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 What a friend we have in Jesus.
Thank you.
Thank the Lord for that hymn. It's a beautiful hymn. It was written by Joseph Stridden. And you know, what happened to him was he lost his wife the night before he was about to be married. She went swimming and unfortunately got drowned. And it took him a long time to get after that, but he decided to emigrate to Canada. And he emigrated to Canada. And again, in Canada, he met another lady whom he really was fond of and was about to marry. And she died, I think it was of consumption, something like that. And this is what he wrote back once to his mother. This is what he wrote back to Ireland, to his mother, these words. And it was wrapped up in in a parcel and sent to America by someone. And someone got those words and put that music to it. And that's where we get this beautiful hymn from, because it is a beautiful hymn to take all our struggles and all our cares to the Lord, because in his hand we will find that solace. And so as we close, shall we close by saying to one another the fellowship words. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all, evermore. Amen. Thank you.